It's 93.3 WMMR. I am Sarah, backstage at Knotfest Roadshow. Headlined, of course, by Slipknot, but opening the gig, one of the most exciting bands making heavy music today. I speak of Code Orange, Thinners of the Herd, and with me, their frontman, Jamie Morgan. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. I consider us the second headliner. We'll be headliner number two in my own head, but yes, we're opening.
I love that attitude. I love it. So your latest album, Underneath, came out. It dropped literally right as the pandemic did, like the same weekend that everything went into lockdown in the United States. And I gravitated toward it immediately. I have been sitting with these songs for so long, and I love it as a collection of music, and I can't wait to see these songs live tonight. So I can't imagine how you feel finally being able to perform in front of a live audience this new music that isn't so new anymore, night after night.
Yeah, it's been great, man. It's been, you know, it's been tough for everybody, but people who know us kind of know that we push forward, you know, we soldier on, and that's what we've been doing for years. We've come up through the lowest ranks of live performance, playing basements and VFW halls and small clubs, and we keep going. But yeah, it's been really fun, and we're excited.
Nice. Underneath, Grammy nominated, by the way, that album. It was produced by someone who was from right here in Philadelphia, and that would be Will Yip.
Yes, he did have a part for sure. Yes, yes.
Did you spend any time in Philadelphia when you were working with him?
Yeah, we always spend some time here. I kind of consider this like our second home. We worked with him on the back half of it. He was involved in our last record forever as well. So we worked with Nick Raskulinitz in Nashville, and then we worked with Will in Philly at the end, and he helps us always put it together. He's one of the best producers there is, and he's right here. He hasn't done like the biggest rock bands in the world, but he's done a lot of really great ones, and he drummed for Lauryn Hill at one point. He's really multifaceted, insanely talented, just hungry and driven individual, and that's why we gravitate towards him, because he's willing to work, you know, 16 hours a day, 20 hours a day, and he's not bitching about it. He's just grinding. That's what we do, too.
Really strong work ethic and an incredible ear. I'm actually going to meet him for the first time tonight. We've been talking on Instagram.
Wow.
So, yeah, I can't wait to finally see him face-to-face. There's so many people that I've been keeping in touch with throughout the pandemic on the internet, and now we're seeing each other in person.
Amazing.
But it's clear that as a group, Code Orange is always trying to create new sounds with every release. So I was wondering if, when you go into the studio, do you have an idea of what you want to create in terms of, like, even a vague vision? Like, we're going to go create this album and it's going to sound futuristic or industrial or whatever. Or do you just go in like, we're going to f*** around and find out?
No, there's very little f***ing around and finding out. It's pretty plotted out. It's very hyper-specific to probably an annoying point for a lot of people in the band. But yeah, conceptually, artistically, musically, we have it pretty plotted out before we go in. And there's usually a lot of overarching things that we're trying to make happen. And we kind of look at it as like beats in a story or something, you know, even more than songs sometimes. But I think our songwriting is getting a lot better as we go on. But yeah, we treat it like a movie or something, you know. There's visuals that the music has to invoke. So it's kind of got, it's this double-sided thing. It's like a super artistic, I guess I could say, you know, venture. And then on the other side, there's this raw, you know, animalistic thing, which is kill or be killed. And that's pretty much what we're about.
It's absolutely all-encompassing, which is one of the many things
Thank
that
you.
I really enjoy about Code Orange. Did I read correctly that this is your first tour as a vocalist, but not as a drummer?
Yeah, this is like my eighth show. Ninth show.
That blows my mind, because this is actually going to be the first time I've seen Code Orange. I kept missing you pre-pandemic, but in the footage I've seen, that's such a natural place for you, is in that context, front and center. So what has that transition been like for you on this tour?
It's been great. I mean, it's way more fun.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks playing drums and singing. So it's been awesome, and I'm just grateful that they believed in me to do that. I mean, I always sang on the records, so if you're listening to the records, it's not really that big of a transition. I sing a lot. Reba sings as well, and that's the same deal. But yeah, now I'm up front instead of at the drums. We have a new drummer, and I think it's just really allowed us to connect with crowds like this on a way that we literally just couldn't before. We felt that doing shows, we felt there was a wall between us and the crowd, and there was something that we wanted them to understand, that it was just a couple steps beyond their understanding in terms of, there was just this big barrier that they had to break down to get to me and to get to what the personality and the feel of the band is. So we always adjust. Like, if anyone has been following us, you know, it's like every album we try to shake it up a little bit, keep it exciting. A lot of music feels really boring to us and lame and the same over and over, especially heavy music, especially rock and metal now. And there's a lot of great bands out there, don't get me wrong, but people kind of do it all in the same way, so we try to shake
it up. It's that, like, flat waveform rock and roll thing, right?
It's lame. I mean, probably, I don't know what they play on this radio station, but a lot of it's probably lame. That's not the radio station's fault. That's just what's out there, and there's a lot of great stuff in the underground. There really is. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be what there was when these guys were coming up, Slipknot, which is, you know, Slipknot, something that if you saw it in the underground, it wouldn't shake you to its core in terms of this shouldn't be here. But it also can exist in this super mainstream way. And that's created a lot of amazing things. And there's a lot of bands like that in the past. And I don't know if there's that many bands like that of the heavy ilk now, in my opinion, that are doing something cultural and real and raw, but are also very popular. There's a lot of great underground bands that rule, but that bridge is kind of closed. In my opinion, I can't think of really anyone personally that we relate to that has crossed it lately. So that's always our goal. It's been our goal for a while, and it continues to be our goal.
Well, let's talk about your relationship with Slipknot. It seems like, well, from your music, listening to how dynamic it is, and there's all of these different sounds and percussion and tempo changes, it's pretty clear that Slipknot is an influence for Code Orange, but it's also clear to me that Slipknot respects you and what you do.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, growing up, none of us really listened to Slipknot, only because we came more from, like, a punk kind of hardcore side of it. And then as we kind of have continued to grow, we've definitely gotten way more influenced by metal. And Slipknot is one of the bands that carries that torch. And like I said, they walk a really fine, beautiful line. That seems to be, like, a relic at this point. Because, again, I can't really think of anyone who's been able to accomplish that, being extreme and artistic and raw, but also having these really big songs that, like, cross that platform and make it so we can be sitting here at a venue like this instead of, you know, a tiny club or whatever. So, you know, I got a lot of respect for them. Corey Taylor has been a really great mentor to me and a great friend to me.
He's awesome.
He's great. And I think he respects, I won't put words in his mouth, but I think if you ask me, tell you, I think he respects the road that we've been on. We were not just dropped into this mix. We've been doing this for a long time. I met all these guys when I was 14, 15 years old, so we started very young, so we're still very young. We're all in, like, our late 20s, but, you know, we've grinded it out for a long time. We've toured this country many, many, many times, and we still find a way to present ourselves in a fresh new way and get to new people every time. So it's an uphill battle. It's not 1997 or whatever where, you know, we put in one album out and it blows up, but we're going to find a way to get there.
It's the 10-year overnight success, right? That's kind of what
the
game. They call it.
Yeah, it is what it is. Where it ends up, it ends up. But all I know is what our goals are, and our goal is to take this as wide as possible while maintaining true integrity and credibility and artistic relevance, you know, which is it's easier said than done.
Absolutely. And that has gained you respect from not only Slipknot, but I've seen you and other members of your band having the opportunity to talk with members of Gojira mm-hmm. and Typo Negative mm-hmm. and these heavyweights in the scene. I want to know if there's anyone, musician or just someone high profile, who it surprised you when you found out that they were a fan of your band.
I'm not really sure. We're interesting because we're definitely not like, we're not like a celebrity favorite band or something where like all these celebs like Code Orange, because it's a little bit disturbing. It's not cookie cutter. But at the end of the day, real recognizes real. And a lot of the shit that you just mentioned, that's real stuff.
Yeah. You know, these Machine are real Gun bands. Kelly's probably not going to come out of the woodwork and be Code Orange. Well, will we believe him? I don't know.
Who gives a f***?
All right. We're speaking with Jamie Morgan of Code Orange at Knotfest Roadshow. And over the course of... I almost said the course of the pandemic, but we're still in it, right? So over the course of the past year and change, Code Orange has done several significant live streams. And for those who didn't see it, this is not like guy with acoustic guitar in his living room on Facebook Live. These are mm-hmm. high quality, massive productions. And I want to commend you on Back Inside the Glass in particular.
Thank you.
That was really inspiring to me because I kept telling everybody, I love experiencing these heavy sounds paired with bright, vibrant visuals. It was mm-hmm. really beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, of course. I'm wondering if you have thought about how you're going to apply production from maybe the live streams that you did, or maybe it's something entirely new, but what your production's going to look like when you finally hit the road as a headliner. And I said, you know, you've hit the road as a headliner, but now on this tour cycle,
we actually haven't hit the road as a headliner in almost 4 years at this point.
Wow.
So it's been a very long time. I think, yeah, we're going to basically push it to the complete limit of what is remotely affordable. That's basically what the goal will be.
Budgets.
I mean, we'll create
budgets.
We save a lot because if people don't know, we create all our own visuals and we create all our own merch.
That's all in-house.
Yes. Every shirt design you've ever seen by Code Orange was designed by me, Reba, and Shade.
Wow.
Ever in history. So we design everything. That helps. Shade is an amazing 3D artist. He's our keyboardist. If you see him up there, he's got the blue hair. Hmm. So he does a lot of our 3D visuals. So we're able to stretch this stuff because we're not paying people for content and all this kind of stuff. We build all our own stuff. A lot of the props you see on stage, if you come see our set, you'll see these two giant heads of this character we have called the Mudman. And Shade painted those with the artists, local artists. We built a lot of our own sets and stuff ourselves.
Like a warehouse out in Pittsburgh or
something?
No,
we don't.
Where does this come from?
It's a living hell. That's what it is. But at the end of the day, if you're a band like us, there's not a lot of resources allocated to you. So if you want to make it happen, you just got to do it. So we just do it. We do a lot of it. So I say that to say when we go on tour, we'll do as absolutely much as we can, and the bigger we get, the easier we'll get. And that's pretty much what it is.
Absolutely incredible. And going back to that all-encompassing experience that is Code Orange, it makes a lot of sense that you keep all of this stuff in-house. It's great.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about wrestling. So a couple of years ago, Code Orange performed live first at NXT, and then there were a few live events with the WWE, and SummerSlam was one of them, right?
We played the thing before Summer. Well, okay, one time we played
the SummerSlam pre-party.
We played like a NXT thing that went with SummerSlam, and then the other time we had our song debut on the SummerSlam, which was the Bray Wyatt song. He came out to the song for the first time. We never actually played that itself. That would be cool, though.
What was that experience like working with the WWE during that time? I know it was a few years ago, but wrestling fans are really intense, and wrestling promotions and entities are fascinating to me in the way that they work and operate.
Yeah, they operate by hitting you up like 2 days before, and they're like, you want to do this crazy thing? And you're like, we'll try. And then we try to do it. No, but I love the fans. I think they're great fans for us. We made a lot of fans doing that, and they're intense, but like they're really intensely supportive for us. I can imagine if you're a wrestler, which I know many wrestlers, it's definitely different, but I love them. I mean, I think they're less fickle even than a lot of music fans, even though I know they get like a bad rap. So I loved it, and I grew up watching wrestling, and I still watch wrestling. It's been a really great experience doing that. It's been cool. We'll see where it leads. I don't know if we'll be there, or I would also love to do something with AEW. That would be awesome.
That's on fire right now. I love it.
Yeah, I would love to do something with that. I mean, we know some guys down there for sure, so I mean, whatever calls, but we would love to do it.
Very cool. You always refer to Code Orange as a family, and this band really seems to value you've mentioned integrity a couple of times, and authenticity and loyalty. Why is that ethos so important to you?
Because if you love what you do and people around you love you, like the members of my band, like I said, we met when we were 15 years old, some younger. And like when you have a core that strong, you know, we split everything equal. You know, I'll go out and say that. I don't care. It's like when you have a core that strong, you're kind of, you know, bulletproof. Because if you love what you're doing and the people in the group will really love each other and care about each other, then the outside world is just noise, you know, at the end of the day. If you're divided within your own camp, it can be really, really tough. And I've seen that many times. And we've had many issues with each other. But our bond is so strong and deep, and the brotherhood runs so deep, that I feel we have an advantage over pretty much anybody else. Because you're not going to get someone putting their personal interest over the band's interests. It's just five really, I mean, much more than myself, really smart, dedicated people who are just ready to do whatever it takes until it's done. And when it's done, it'll be done. And until then, though, we go balls to the walls, and that's pretty much how we keep this ship going. I mean, a lot of bands would have given up a while ago because we've had a lot of hardships and it's been tough, but we keep going because of that bond.
Absolutely. Thinners of the herd. Code Orange kicking off KnotFest tonight at the BB&T Pavilion here in Camden. We'll see if the place is still standing when they're done with it. Jamie, thanks so much for joining us on MMR today.
Thank you. Play yourself on the radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.